Hi, I'm Steve Jenkins. I work for Fairway Markets in the New York area, and we're awfully proud to support Heritage Radio, and we care so much about everything that goes on out here at Roberta's in their studio, because they talk to people who are serious about food, and that's what we are at Fairway, is we're serious about food. We just care very deeply about you as a customer, and how you cook and what you cook with and how you entertain, and that's why we love to support Heritage Radio, because it's pretty much the same thing. It's wanting to find happiness through serious food and people who are serious about it and care about learning everything there is to learn about it. And that's we're kindred spirits. If it's something worth having in your kitchen, you're going to find it at Fairway. And if there's somebody worth talking to about food, you're going to find them on Heritage Radio, and we will be supporting you guys for a long, long time. At Fairway, I'm your personal grocer, Steve Jenkins, Fairway Market.
Hi, everybody. You tuned into the HeritageRadioNetwork.com. This is the show is Flash Talks Cash, the show about money, making it, spending it, saving it, what to do with it when you get it. I'm your host, Joanne Flash Fleming, with my co-host, Andrew, my son, Newman.
Good afternoon.
And our producer and engineer, Jack Inslee. We're all in the studio today, ready to talk about taxes today, but I just want to take care of some business. We broadcast live every Thursday, 4:30 to 5 p.m., and you can call in during the show. We'd love to hear from you. Our phone number is 718-497-2128.
There we go. We got it this week, Jack.
And or you can email info@heritageradionetwork.com. We'll take an email from you. If you can't tune in live, you know we're always available. All shows are archived on the website, and there is ability to download free podcasts, so you can listen to us anywhere you want. Today's show, as I said, is about W-2s, 1099s, unemployment insurance, all those tax documents pouring into your mailbox. We're going to talk about organizing them, getting ready, what you need to do early February to start the tax process. And we're going to start with what happens, what kind of taxpayers get affected early February, and what the other taxpayers who aren't affected directly should be doing. Okay, first and foremost, you should get your W-2 by now. The law says it has to be out by January 31st. Today's February 3rd. W-2 should be received.
Yes.
1099s are supposed to be out by January 31st, too.
That's an iffy.
They really take their time, and to get them out, they're due to the government February 28th, so the employers take their time putting those 1099s out. The brokerage houses, the banks, they're supposed to get their 1099s. The brokerage houses have till February 15th. So, you know, back in the day, all the documents used to be out by January 31st. They extended it a couple of years ago, and now everybody's taken that new deadline and pushed it. So you can't do your taxes early February unless you have a very simple return, which maybe includes a W-2 or something. And I'll tell you something else that's going on this year. You know, the Tax Reform Act, or whatever heck Obama did late in December, caused a lot of problems with the IRS. They don't have the forms finished. There are very few forms ready to be filed. So if you have a W-2 and that's all you have on your tax return, you may file your return. You're about the only person that can file a return right now. All the other forms are not up ready, and all the other documents may not have been mailed out to you. So the early February filers, generally speaking, are the people who get the big refunds.
Mm-hmm.
Really want to get their hands on their money, and they should. Why wait till April if you can get your money back in February? So the one thing, there's a couple things. First of all, somebody who gets a giant refund should really adjust their withholdings during the year. And they should get their money back each week in their paycheck rather than wait till once a year and get a like $10,000 refund.
Oh, people like it that way, though.
But you know what happens? A lot of people who have a $10,000 refund or a $5,000 refund or a $2,000 refund turn around, take that check, and pay off their credit card loans.
Well, what if you live your life well and then all of a sudden...
That's true. But you know, there's a lot of people that have credit card debt.
It's like a
debt.
Savings plan.
There's a lot of people who have credit card debt and they turn around and take the check and they pay off of debt.
But then, what is it, an extra $50? $100 a week?
a $10,000.
Well, $10,000 is a little extreme. Most people don't get $10,000 back.
But some people do.
You know, you get a few, $2,000-$3,000, maybe five. That's like
$100
a week. $100 a week goes pretty quickly. Whereas if you get $5,000 back, you know, that goes a lot farther.
Not if you have debt of $5,000.
Well, if you have debt of five, but what if you have debt of $2,000?
Yes.
And okay, now you have like an extra $3,000.
Okay, but financially savvy people don't let the government hold on to their money.
No.
And if you can't find any other way to save money, then it's okay. But if you're running up debt all year long and then you're waiting for that big check to pay the debt off, that doesn't make any sense. Here's something very brand new this year. You know, the IRS insists that well, they want you to e-file your returns. And if you have a tax preparer doing it, they are required to e-file your returns. And there's that's a great little program. It helps the IRS, believe me, but it helps you. Your returns get processed faster. The other thing is they've been direct depositing the refunds into your bank account if you fill in the tax form with your account information. But there's a lot of people who don't have bank accounts, don't have checking accounts, don't have savings accounts. So the IRS this year is now putting refunds onto debit cards for people who don't have checking accounts. This is new. So if you qualify for a refund and you don't have a checking account, there's a new place to put in, and you can put on a debit card and go and spend your money.
I recommend opening a checking account,
though. Yeah, but there's some people who aren't good with checking accounts. They bounce checks. They're not good at doing it. There are people, I don't recommend it, but there are people who are financially incapable of operating a checking account. So they have a debit card. And by the way, there's a lot of people who don't have any savings accounts, but that's another whole show.
Mm-hmm.
Most people operate with a checking account. There are a group of people that don't have checking accounts. And so the direct deposit to a debit account is a beautiful thing. Here's another new technology that I am so amazed, but I'm really, why should I be surprised? They now have an app. So you could do your taxes with an app. But you can download an app.
On your iPhone.
Your iPhone or your Android phone. Okay, it's put out by Intuit, who makes TurboTax, and it's a smartphone application, and it can read the salary and withholding information from a W-2, and after you answer a few questions and review your return, you hit the file now, and you're done.
But that's federal only, not the state.
No, the states have the program too.
Get out of here.
It was available only in California last year, and now they expanded it to other states. So what is that? Firecrackers?
Right.
We got firecrackers going on. I don't know what the heck that was. So now so you can have an app. There is a couple of little caveats. You can only be used by individual taxpayers whose income does not exceed $80,000. And it's not for complicated returns. It's for basic W-2 kind of people, the ones that I'm talking about who are early February filers.
Like
what?
Like a 1040 Easy or something?
Yeah, people who have simple returns. And so there's an app, and it's called Snap Tax.
Wait, is this like that Chase thing where you take a picture of your check?
Gee, I don't know.
Because I heard that's kind of faulty.
I have no idea. But, you know, you can look into it. It's put out by Intuit. Intuit is a reputable company, an app to do your taxes. I personally think you spend a little bit more time on your taxes. And
I
that's
wouldn't do it on my phone.
Well, I know, but your returns are not as simple. Some people,
but still, I just recommend sitting down on a computer and looking at things.
Well,
and not
some
just
people
like
don't
scan.
Have computers. Some people don't have the
if
head to
you don't have a computer, but you have a smartphone, something else is wrong.
No, there's people who have smartphones and no computers. Well,
this is like the people without checking accounts.
Yes.
So
yes.
People with the smartphones apply, do the tax return on the phone, get their debit card, and they're good to go.
You know, there are people who have broken computers, people who got stolen computers, people who have lost computers, you know, but they have their smartphone is still working, okay? I'm just telling you, that's out there. So those are the early February filers. Now for the rest of us, what should we be doing? The mail is coming in, the W-2s are landing in the box, the unemployment insurance, if you collected last year, the 1099s, put them all in one central location.
Mm-hmm.
What I strongly recommend you do is sit down and start to organize last year's expenses and tally up your income. This is really out there for freelancers. I'm going to talk to freelancers now. You know, those 1099s come in. They're not perfect. You know, you also can't rely on your 1099s to report your income. You're supposed to report all your incomes, whether you get 1099s or not 1099s. Not all people send out 1099s, especially people, if you only earned less than $600, the employer is not required to send it to you. But you could have had 400 jobs that paid you $400.
Mm-hmm.
You still have to report that income. The other thing is there are times when the 1099s are incorrectly prepared or incorrectly the numbers are put into the wrong boxes, which can cause you more or less taxes. So I suggest you keep some sort of a book, a spreadsheet or something, tallying up all the income you earned as a freelancer last year to make sure that what you're reporting on your tax return is in fact what you're reporting per the 1099s. You should report all your income, 1099s, which should be equal to or less than all your income. Got it? That's number one. Number two is those expenses.
Can I disagree with that?
Go ahead, tell me.
No, of course, I just don't agree.
What don't you agree? Like if you get 400 jobs that pay $400, you shouldn't report that $16,000?
You never know.
Well, that's not legal.
I'm okay.
The legal thing is, you know, a lot of people don't get 1099s, yet they still earn their income.
As a freelancer, it's very difficult to manage the tax payments along with all the income and everything like
sorry.
That. It's just...
Sorry.
I know. Everyone's not as perfect as you, Flash. No. So, you know, some of us have a harder time and then say I have five $400 jobs and then the next month I have no $400 jobs. I don't have the money for the taxes.
Well,
now. So then April 15th rolls around. I owe $6,000 of my job.
Can I make a simple way to keep track of that? Open up a separate checking account.
Well, I don't have a checking account or a savings account.
Well, yes, you do.
I have a smartphone, but not a checking or savings account.
Yes, you do.
Because there are people like that out there.
Yeah, but you're not one of them. So people who are freelancers...
I'm talking to the public
here. Okay, but people who are freelancers have checking accounts.
Why?
Because they need to cash those checks. They get those direct deposits or they get...
Direct deposits, freelancers?
Yeah, some vendors pay you directly into your bank account. So anyway, I suggest you get a separate bank account for your business income and use it for your expenses. That will make your job a bazillion times easier at the end of the year. That was one of my suggestions I wrote. Will you get you tally up your income by tallying up all your deposits for the year, and then you go through and hopefully you've done some bookkeeping during the year and you have your expenses allocated. But if you don't, now you have them in one central location and you have to start sorting it out by expense. You need to know how much you spent for office supplies, how much you spent for entertainment, how much you spent for outside contractors or other freelancers that you paid to help you, and other things, all those business expenses, travel expenses and so forth, insurance. So you need to summarize that by expense for 2010. If you had your separate checkbook, you would have all those numbers in one central location, and you should have your invoices or your receipts in one central location so you can review and also if you do your bookkeeping all year long, and make your job so much easier. Most people who are disorganized or are procrastinators really do themselves a disservice. A, they wind up pushing it off, pushing it, push. They don't really know how much their income is, how much their expenses are. They underestimate, they overestimate, they get it wrong.
Sounds like me.
They do it themselves a huge disservice. I strongly recommend people who are procrastinators and who are disorganized, hire somebody to get the job done and stop putting yourself through so much stress. That's my opinion. Here's a little tidbit for the...
Do you think it's funny that I don't track my income or expenses?
I think it's sad. The son of a masterful CPA.
I'm a bookkeeper.
But you're the son of a masterful CPA.
I'm also a bookkeeper. So, I do it for everybody else. I can't do it for myself.
So the other thing...
It's like
a mental block. Those procrastinators...
Can we talk about me for a little bit?
Oh, 1 second. Let me just
Jesus.
Finish this. Those procrastinators and those disorganized people, let me just tell you one little tidbit of info. If you don't file your return and if you would do a refund after 3 years, you are not entitled to get your refund back, even if it was a bazillion dollars. However, if you don't file a return and you owe money, they never write you off the books. They're going to come and collect that money. You're never written off. So it's in your best interest, particularly if you're an employee. I've had people come in and haven't filed their returns. They have W-2s and they have refunds. And they lose those refunds if they don't file them within 3 years. So that's what disorganization and procrastination could cost you.
That's crazy talk.
Okay, you have a minute. Tell us how disorganized and procrastinating
you are. I was only
kidding. So you do keep your expenses organized.
No, I don't actually.
Well, you ought to.
I know.
Okay. And one other thing, if you have your own business and you're a freelancer, you are now required as an employer, if you hired people during the year, to send out 1099s to your freelancers. So get that done. We spoke about that early on. It's due January 31st to the freelancers. It's due to the government this February 28th. But that's what you ought to be doing this time of the year. And
How? Is that essential to do 1099s?
It's required now. And in 2011, the rule got even more ridiculous.
I heard that. But like, How do they know that you don't have any outside services or something like that? Like
they don't know it. If they do an audit, they'll find it. And you could be disallowed that write-off. I've been involved in audits where the 1099s were the another whole spiel. But the woman sent out 1099s. The government never received copies. They audited her. They said you're not allowed to deduct that $33,000 that you paid to your freelancers. And she said, well, here's copies of the 1099. Well, the government never got them. We're not going to allow them. And that cost a lot of money for us to go fight in an audit, okay? So that's what it costs. Early February, this is what you got to do for your taxes. We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back, and I'm going to read a very interesting email I got today.
Okay.
We'll be right back.
I love doing my taxes. When springtime comes, don't you? Instead of garden walks and ball games, I get to work my weekends too. How could I live without filing taxes? Or what would I do with my...
Okay, we're back. How can I live without filing taxes? What an interesting song. I don't know what I would do without filing file taxes. What would I do in the springtime? Just to wrap this up, I just want to say, start early. Accountants, if you go to your accountant, they're sharper in February than they are in March, and they're sharper in March than they are in April. It's very stressful as it gets closer to the deadline. There's more mistakes to be made, and you probably pay higher prices the closer you get to the deadline, but you didn't hear that here, okay? I want to read to you. You remember a few weeks ago I did the show and I mentioned about unclaimed funds?
Mentioned. You talked about it for about 15 minutes.
Oh, I was so excited. Well, let me tell you.
Ecstatic.
I got an email today from a client who...
How about we say a listener?
A listener. A listener. Well, you know, I sent out... He is a listener. I send out the emails, as you all know, right before the show to tell you to tune in.
Hopefully more than all.
Okay.
You need to think bigger here, Flesh.
Okay, no, it's true. Like, so here's a listener.
Something in your little world, positive thinking, outside the box. What about if it's one of the people I tell to listen?
Yes, it could be. But this guy happens to be a friend, a client, and a listener, okay? He said, hey, Joanne, I have to thank you for pointing out the Office of Unclaimed Funds. I recovered almost $600 from lost insurance checks and a return that my ex-wife made to Ann Taylor in 2000. My mother-in-law just called me, and her check for $3,300 just arrived. My father-in-law has about 20 checks listed, some for him and some for his firm. He hasn't filed yet, but I'm sure it's big. I've been looking for all my friends at my job, and there are thousands of dollars in lost recording and insurance checks that have been recovered. I can't thank you enough and always give you credit when I tell people about this. Let me tell you about this guy. When I first sent it out to him and I told him about this, he was really very wary, not trusting. Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't want to give my social security number, you know, da-da-da-da-da. I said, look, you can go through the official state controller's website and go that route, or you could use the link I gave you, whichever you want to do. If you don't feel comfortable do it, then don't do it. But, you know, I'm telling you, I recovered some money, and I know people that recovered money. And here's the response to that. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? $3,300 to his mother-in-law.
I wish everyone could see the smile on your face right now. You are so proud of yourself right now.
So now,
so proud of yourself.
So now we're going to say, keep listening, because I might make you some money. Okay? And I'm certainly going to save you some money. Andrew's going to read an email I received this week. It has to do about taxes.
All right. I think I mentioned that my husband and I are getting divorced. He's making it difficult, and I doubt it will be settled by April 15th. But I know that he is going to owe quite a bit on his personal taxes in 2010. I am just wondering if I can file separately from him, or am I obligated to file with him and pay part of his tax bill?
Okay. Well, she could file married filing separately and not be responsible for his liability at all. That's a very safe and common way to go, especially in a divorce situation. And the other rule is if they lived apart for more than 6 months last year and they have a legal separation in place, she can file single. So she has an option, and if he has a tax liability, I strongly recommend that she file married filing separate or file single if she's eligible.
What if the married partner puts them on the tax return anyway and says married filing jointly?
Then she's going to be held responsible for 50% of the debt.
So how do you prevent that from happening?
Married filing separately.
Well, if she files married, filing separate, he marries married, filing jointly.
She has to sign the return. She refuses to sign the return.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, or electronically file. She refuses to electronically file. You have to put a pin in or do a signature. So you're not allowed to file the return without that person's permission.
Okay, just wondering.
Good. So what's the next question?
All right. Seems like my father left me 50% beneficiary of his AI as of his annuity. It has, I don't know if this is right. It says $53M. Is that $53 million?
No, she meant thousand.
Oh, okay.
And not 53 million.
I was like, damn. I wouldn't even ask you this question. I'm sorry. I'm not knocking you. You probably know the answer anyway. It has $53,000 in it, and of course, I'm looking for a way to avoid being taxed on it. The annuity is willing to annuitize it over 10 years. Annuitize? Is that the right word?
That's the word.
Over 10 years, but that seems stupid because every year I'll be paying taxes on it as income. But if I just take the whole thing now, I'll have an even bigger tax liability, right? Or maybe I should let it get it over with. AIG also said they will send it to my choice of receipt, which would be the trust. All right. I don't know what the hell. She has like parentheses everywhere, but that would generate a 1099 next January anyway.
She was talking about rolling it over to somewhere else.
Okay.
Yes.
Anyhow, what do you think?
You're killing me here.
What should she do?
Well, what should she do? First of all, she was entitled to half of that. Her and her sister split that $26,000. So $26,000 annuitized over 10 years, $2,600. You're not even going to notice that money. It's just going to get poof. So I don't like the 10-year annuitized option. $26,000, I looked up in her situation that $26,000 would not put her over into the next tax bracket. So for her to take that $26,000 this year, she would pay the same tax as if she was to get it over 5 years or 10 years. So in her case, I told her $26,000, take it in your income, pay your taxes this year, and do what you want with the money. She can roll it over. She wasn't that interested because she has other things she'd rather do with the money. So the rollover would put her back into an IRA account. This is an inherited IRA. You must pay taxes. It's the only thing that you really have to pay taxes on when you inherit money from your
IRA is only thing?
Yes. Well, there are other things that you possibly could pay taxes on, but that's mandatory. There's no way around that. So I suggest that she take the $26,000 and enjoy herself with the money. Give the tax man his bite and then use the rest. Okay?
All right.
So that's it for the email. We have a quick little number nuts this week.
Quick,
we have a quick few quick easy. I don't even know the answers. So this week the three of us are gonna play, okay?
Awesome.
All right, so let's put a number nuts out there.
3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Wait. Can I throw a question out here?
Sure.
So you don't even know the answers to your own questions?
No.
So how are we gonna know the answers?
Well, I know I'm smart, I'm gonna know the answer. It's a personal finance test. Okay?
Well, I'm just confused.
It's not really numbers. It's just information that you need to know.
My mic doesn't work in that other room.
Oh, sit on in, Jack. On in. Here we go. Jack, you got Jack in the studio.
So now you could even read the questions because I don't have the answers marked up. But I'm going to read the questions and the three of us are going to answer. Okay?
I like this. I like Jack being in studio with us. Right. We do this every week.
Yeah. If you have caused an accident, which type of automobile insurance would cover damage to your own car?
Liability.
Wait, term, collision, comprehensive, or liability?
Liability.
If you cause an accident, which type of insurance would cover damage to your own car?
Collision.
Oh, to your own car. Collision.
Right, Mr. Driver.
Sorry.
That's correct. Okay.
I got it. I wasn't listening to your question.
Many savings programs are protected by the federal government against loss. Which of the following is not? A bond insured by one of the 50 states, a U.S. Treasury bond, a U.S. savings bond, a certificate of deposit in the bank.
A state issued.
Yeah, I was going to go with that too.
That's right.
Because my family actually got me a bunch of state issued bonds.
Really?
Yeah.
Are they worth anything?
They went south.
Usually that's state true. Bonds that don't go south.
Yeah. Aren't you still insured your interest payment or?
I don't know the specifics. Yeah.
Okay,
maybe they're lying to me. I don't
know. You should look up your name on that website that Joanne said. Maybe the money's sitting there.
They should come back. Is it like Ohio or Iowa? You don't know.
I thought it was New York.
Yeah. Oh, New York. Well, we're not broke yet. It will happen, though. Hang in there. See what Cuomo and Bloomberg are fighting about these days? Okay, which of the following instruments is not typically associated with spending? cash, credit card, debit card, certificate of deposit.
CD.
Yeah, CD.
Oh, see how easy I made this test today?
That was really easy.
Is that the whole test? Because I'm going to say it's a waste of our time.
No, I got more. This
I'm
is
glad
a personal
you got more, this
financial
is pretty...
test.
Where'd you get this?
Don't I get them from places, you know.
I got them from
Doug must borrow $12,000 to complete his college education. Which of the following would not be likely to reduce the finance charge rate? A, if his parents took an additional mortgage on the house for the loan. B, if the loan was insured by the federal government. C, if he went to state college rather than a private college. Or D, if his parents co-signed the loan.
Which wouldn't?
Correct. Which would not reduce the finance charge rate?
The mortgage, maybe.
I don't understand how that...
Which of the following would not be likely to reduce the finance charge rate?
I don't understand. I don't understand the question.
So which scenario does not help the situation?
If right? the parents took out an additional mortgage on the house
so I,
for the
I guess, loan? I guess the state college versus the private college. I have no idea. If I don't even understand the question.
If the loan was insured by the federal government, that could reduce the rate.
Yes.
Okay. If he went to a state college rather than a private college, state colleges can reduce the rate. Okay.
They can?
Yes. If the parents co-signed the loan,
that would reduce
that
the
could
rate.
Reduce the rate.
Oh, so, I'm right.
So if the parents took out an additional mortgage on the house, that won't reduce the rate. That's an equity line of credit. That has nothing to do with student loans and the rates. See, Jack, he knows. This is such a simple test.
That was a retarded question.
This is a good financial
test. Well,
what if
they have a lower rate than their actual mortgage?
But it said, the question is, which of the following would not be likely to reduce the finance charge, to reduce the rate?
The fact that he went to college?
No.
Of course that has no effect on whether they take a...
Can we move on? He's stuck.
I didn't like that question.
No. He doesn't like
that. That was a retarded question.
Okay.
Why are you wasting my time with this?
If you had a savings account in a bank, which of the following would be correct concerning the interest that you would earn on this account? A, sales tax may be charged on the interest
that
you earn.
That's it.
B,
hell no.
You cannot earn interest until you pass your 18th birthday. C, earnings from savings account interest may not
be taxed.
Why
are you even reading the question still?
Wait, I'm not finished.
Is that true about 18 years old?
No. None of this is true. Income tax may be charged on the interest if your income is high enough. So which of the following would be correct?
Oh, which one's correct?
Oh, it's correct. I stopped listening.
See? He's a terrible test taker.
It's the last one.
It's the last one.
I'm
absolutely
going with Jack.
It's the last one. So far, Andrew, you keeping track because he's bombing on
I got
this.
One wrong.
Yeah, two wrong.
You're two now. Okay?
I stopped listening. I knew
you
that one was not right
test.
At all.
Okay.
I knew that was not
listen,
right at all.
Why don't you listen to the question?
I haven't listened to any questions.
Under which of the following circumstances would it be financially beneficial for you to borrow money to buy something now and repay it with future income? You ready? A.
0% on a credit card.
When some clothes you like go on sale. B. When the interest rate on loan is greater than the interest you get on your savings. C. When you need to buy a car to get a much better paying job. Or D. When you really need a week-long vacation.
Pretty easy.
I go with the car.
Yeah, the car.
The car? No, the answer is the clothes.
The clothes.
Under which circumstances would it be financially beneficial for you to... Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, you're right.
What's wrong with you? Look who's not...
Clothes on sale.
All right, let's just end the show because no one's apparently listening
to
the questions.
No, we got some more questions.
Because you got the clothes on sale. It's okay.
I can't see that well. I'm having a hard time.
You're reading the question.
Retirement income paid by a company is called A, rents and profits. B, Social Security. C, 401k. D, pension.
Wait, what's
retirement income paid by a company is called what?
Pension.
I guess a pension.
That's right.
But they also pay Social Security in for you. They
no,
also they
your
could
retirement
match on a 401k.
Income is not paid by a company. Your retirement income is called a pension. A 401k is a savings plan that you use towards retirement.
What about
retirement.
A matching, though?
No, true. Retirement income
I don't like the
is
wording
a pension.
Of that question.
You know, you're really having a hard time with this.
I don't like the wording. I got that one right with Jack, but I didn't like the wording on that
gonna
one.
He's going to fail this test, Jack.
I did not fail.
It's attention span, man.
Yeah, ADD. Okay. Many people put aside money.
Jack, I thought I liked you out here, but I don't know if I do anymore. I actually see your face when you're making fun of me. I'm not so bad.
Many people put aside money to take care of unexpected expenses. If John and Jenny have money put aside for emergencies, to which of the following forms would it be of least benefit to them if they needed it right away? Stocks, savings account, invested in a down payment on the house, or a checking account?
What do you mean by invested in a down payment on a house? Do they use it to put the down payment?
Yes.
So, that would be the one. That's the longest
If John and Jenny had money put away, which of the following
You're saying they purchased the house.
Would it be least benefit to them if they needed it right away?
They would have to resell the house, you're saying? Is that the question?
I don't know. I don't understand the question.
Okay, so I'm not... I didn't understand questions before.
This is tough.
Yeah, I think the down payment. That's that not no liquid.
Yeah,
that's
not liquid at all.
Do you understand that liquid thing? Stocks, savings account, checking account, you can access.
My answer was going to be stocks, I won't lie.
No, so. The answer is the
stocks
down payment.
Stocks are the second closest because it may take some time to turn those around.
2-3 days. True. Okay, many young people receive health insurance benefits through their parents. Which of the following statements is true about health insurance coverage? Young people don't need health insurance because they're so healthy.
Hell yes.
That's what Andrew believes. You continue to be covered by your parents' insurance as long as you live at home, regardless of your age.
No.
You are covered by your parents' insurance until you marry, regardless of your age. If your parents become unemployed, your insurance coverage may stop regardless of your age.
Yes.
Okay. You guys know that.
I still like the first one.
If your credit card is stolen and the thief runs up a total debt of $1,000, but you notify the insurer of the card as soon as you discover it's missing, what is the maximum amount that you could be forced to pay according to federal law? Nothing? $50, $500, or $1,000?
Zero, right?
Yeah. Right, right. So, see, now we're getting smart, boys. Yeah. We have one more question. We're going to say goodbye, okay? Kelly and Pete just had a baby. They received money as baby gifts and want to put it away for the baby's education. Which of the following tends to have the highest growth over periods of time as long as 18 years? U.S. government savings bonds, savings account, a checking account, or stocks?
Stocks.
Savings bond.
Wrong. Stocks is the answer. Okay.
It could be anything, though.
No, stocks.
Stocks average about 7 or 8%, whereas the savings bonds average about 6% or lower, right, depending on the interest.
So the answer. So the answer this week is the winner is. I think our engineer is the winner this week.
I'll let Jack take this one down.
Yeah, because Andrew has ADD and wasn't listening to the questions. So we'll be back next week with week 2 of tax season. We'll go over what's next to be done. Take care.